Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to another episode of Today in Sports Betting. It is Thursday, 12:35 on the East Coast. We have a fantastic show for you today. I'm Ira Silver at Ira Silver Magic on Twitter, as always. This is Today in Sports Betting, a HoopBall presentation. I got my good buddy John Ryan again on the show. We had a fantastic electric show yesterday, won a lot of the listeners a lot of money, hoping to continue that hot streak today. John, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Ira. How are you doing?
Doing well. Before we jump into some games, we got some baseball games to break down. We'll run through some the NFL card as well. We know everybody loves to bet the NFL, so we'll get into that as well. Before we do that, just want to give a shout out to our sponsors over at Manscaped.com. They got the new and improved and electric lawnmower 3.0 with their water-resistant technology. It is fantastic. I love mine. So should you. Go to Manscaped.com. Type in the promo code HoopBall20. That's HOOPBALL. 20 at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping. So, John, yesterday we talked about it, the ball carrying out of Dodger Stadium during the day games. It was a sight to see lots of home runs in that A's-Astros game. Hit that one right on the head. I don't know why I did not get down on the over. It must have been because I was preoccupied with some work stuff. But, yeah, that was a really good call there. I had the A's first five, didn't win. They blew a two-run lead there in the bottom of the fifth. But I did bet the A's live in-game, and I bet them a little bit before the game as well at minus 115, got there. And then your play with the Tampa Bay Rays yesterday was a great call. They dominated that game throughout. I placed a first five wager on the Rays. I placed a full game wager on the Rays at about four units. I upped my unit size because of you, so I appreciate that. Today we're going to jump into the slate. And yeah, just wanted to, you know, hats off to you on that Tampa call. That was fantastic.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it was, it's always nice when they go start to finish without trailing. Happen all the time.
Yeah, and you know, this Yankees team, they can put runs up pretty quickly, but Tampa Bay has had their number. So that was a really good call. The only time I lost Tampa was I bet them in game one of the series. So Tampa has been good to me so far. This postseason will continue that streak hopefully today. Let's kick it off with the Atlanta Braves, Miami Marlins. Marlins 6-toe Sanchez on the mound versus Kyle Wright. The Braves minus 130, Miami plus 110 here. Over under 9 runs, shaded to the over at minus 115. Am I crazy or I like the Marlins. I like them first five. I like them full game. I think this is a must. Obviously, it's a must-win game for the Marlins. I just think that Kyle Wright, obviously not such a great pitcher for the Braves in their rotation. Sixto Sanchez, he's got some nasty stuff. I like the kid a lot. Give us maybe some nuggets of information, or maybe you can talk me out of my play here on the Marlins. I've been 0-4 in this series with the Marlins so far. So hopefully this one will go a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that's the right side, Ira. Kyle Wright, as you mentioned, is not one of your better pitchers at the Major League Baseball level. He's Exit velocity is okay at 87 miles an hour, and that matches what Sanchez has pitching for the Marlins. But when you get to the real important stuff, and we all know, you know, when you walk a guy to start an inning, it's 60% or higher that that runner is going to score.
Oh, that tilts me the most when I'm on a team and then they walk the first batter in the inning. I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm up 2-0. Here we go.
Well, as you and I were talking earlier before the show, I've been involved in baseball, coaching youth baseball anywhere from the age of 13 to 18U at pretty high levels. And I actually have an email for that. It's called First Pitch Strike. And there's nothing more important than first pitch strike. I think Kershaw last night at one point was 15 out of 16 batters, first pitch strike. So even when the teams know that it's going to be in the strike zone, they still can't hit it. With Kyle Wright, it's a different story. 14.3% of the batters he's faced this year have ended up at first base without getting the bat off their shoulders. So I think with the Marlins, and you know, this goes to credit Mattingly, I think, because a lot of people didn't think that his stern, you know, military type approach that he's known for was going to work with young players that are extremely talented, and sure enough, it has this year. So generally, the younger the player, especially from the Caribbean region, for whatever reason, they love fastballs. It could be up by their eyes, and they'll swing at it. But this, he's been able to instruct them, and I forget who the hitting coach is there, but they've worked magic down there in getting these guys to be disciplined at the plate. And I doubt whether you're going to see any of the Marlin batters swing at the first pitch, at least for the first time around in the order. And, you know, clearly if Kyle Wright doesn't have it and he starts walking these guys to start an inning, then I think a live bet on the Marlins right away would be a great bet.
All right. Awesome. We got another interesting matchup here. Houston leads the series 2-1 at Dodger Stadium. Lots of long bombs yesterday. You called it. We got a line here on the game at -110 to both sides. No pitchers listed yet, but I do believe they just announced Zach Greinke as the starter for the Astros in this game against Frankie Montas for the Athletics. Looks pretty even here. Again, very tight series in terms of betting lines. No real big favorites to start the games here. I was on the A's last night. It worked out full game for me. What do you got to say about this game? Is there anything you're looking at today? You got to think the Oakland A's are going to try to get this W. Otherwise, they go home.
Yeah, and it'll be all men on deck. Montas is a much better pitcher, in my opinion, than his stats indicate. Last three starts, 5.28 ERA is hardly impressive. But his last start against Seattle, in which the team won 6-2, he went six innings for the first time in a while, allowed two runs. Actually, none of those two runs were earned either. On four hits, two walks, and 13 Ks. So whatever he and the pitching coach figured out had to be something, because it's very rare that you see a starting pitcher at the Major League Baseball level go from single-digit strikeouts, sometimes not even making it to five, and then suddenly soaring to 13. So I think he is gonna pitch a lot better than what a -110 line would indicate. Zach Greinke, you know, Hall of Famer for sure. Should be first ballot, unanimous, but there'll be some dope out there that won't vote for him. But you know, he's getting up in age, and unfortunately, this news has happened so quick, I don't have his metrics available to me right now. But I can tell you that, you know, Montas here, his exit velocity, despite not pitching that great, has been good. It's 88 miles an hour. So anything, you know, south of 90, I kind of like. And he's been mixing in more sliders and splitters with his pitches. So again, he's not relying on that first pitch strike being a fastball. But his fastball is still 96, 97, with excellent sinking action, generate ground balls more than fly balls, and you're going to see Greinke throwing it maybe at 88. So I think you have to lean to the A's to tie this thing up.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there, obviously. And, you know, Greinke was battling a couple injuries here late in the season. They say there's no structural issues going on, but you gotta guess, is his arm gonna be all there today or not? You know, he is getting up there in age. He is, an elder statesman, if you will, 36 years old, been playing baseball a long time. He's obviously had a very good career, but, with a couple injuries here, you know, maybe it's kind of bothering him a little bit. You got to think he might get roughed up a little bit today by these A's bats. And I'm going to lean with Montas here. I think he's, like you said, better than his stats indicate. I think he's going to get it together here, and I'm going to go with the A's as well again today. Next game.
Good.
Yeah. Next game on the board. This has been the play the last couple of days, and it's come through for us. And we got Ryan Thompson on the mound to open the game. When the news was released who the starting pitcher was for the Tampa Bay Rays today, it didn't say Ryan Thompson to start this game. It said Ryan Thompson to open. So you got to think it's going to be a bullpen game today for the Rays. Ryan Thompson, the righty, and the Rays plus 125. New York Yankees are rolling out the lefty in Jordan Montgomery, and they're -140, -145, depending where you're shopping right now, over under 9 runs. Give us some stats and some metrics on these guys. I mean, off the top, I mean, I know Jordan Montgomery is just kind of like in the same league almost as Kyle Wright. You know, he's doesn't really have, you know, in my opinion, very shaky guy, can give up a lot of runs, and you know, these Tampa Bay Rays really can hit the ball. They run well. They play a good team game. So what do you got to say here for the Rays-Yankees game today?
With Jordan Montgomery, you're absolutely right. He throws average speeds at the Major League Baseball level. You'll see 92, 93 for his fastball. He does throw a cutter occasionally, which is just a slightly slower because of the spin. And I guess his best pitch would be his changeup. And you'll see him throw a curve more than the changeup to the right-handed batters. He'll use the change against the lefties. But he's a very predictable style of pitcher. He's not the type of guy that's going to be able to hit corners. And will look to, you know, get the ball over the plate and put it in play. So strikeout percentages for him are low based on the Major League Baseball average. So in this game, I think you see the Rays attack that first pitch just like they did last night again. And, you know, it is interesting that you said Ryan Thompson was listed as the opener. You know, I almost like that. Because the Tampa Bay in many ways is like the Oakland A's in terms of money ball. You know, they're not a huge budget. And you know, over the years, I find myself cheering for these types of teams to beat the big bankroll type teams like the Yankees.
Absolutely.
It almost feels good. You know, it's like, you know, I lived in New York. It was in the beginning. It was great with the Yankee games, going to see them. But then, you know, with all due respect, Steinbrenner was a great businessman. We started buying the World Series. And then it just, when they didn't win it, it was like, oh, man, what a letdown. But at any rate, I think this game here, we just keep riding the horse. Again, 7-star play, Tampa Bay Rays, to send the Yankees home here. And I guess they'll have to figure out how they're going to get away from the problems they have with the luxury tax and how they're going to load some of these big salaries that they have that really aren't panning out. But that's a story for another time.
Yeah, guys, if you're not following John on Twitter, his handle's John at John Ryan Sports One. I mean, this guy's pumping out plays left and right. Gave us a 7-star play based on his algorithms and machine learning yesterday with the Rays. Again today, 7 stars with the Rays at plus money. This guy's phenomenal with baseball, and it shows. It really does show. You know, I saw an interesting tweet yesterday and last night. Trevor Bauer. the great pitcher Trevor Bauer. He's just watching these games and he's tweeting out, well, it looks like the Yankees need some starting pitching. And then he's tweeting out again during the Dodger game. It looks like the Padres need some starting pitching. You know, if one of those two teams add Trevor Bauer, it's going to be scary. It's going to be real scary.
There's a lot of baggage in that acquisition for sure. Unfortunately, you know, incredibly talented.
Incredibly talented dude, Trevor Bauer. He's a fantastic pitcher. So if he ever does get to one of those two teams, it's going to be real, real scary. I'm not seeing a line on the next game, John. Maybe you do. And that the Dodgers have not announced starting pitching today. So it's the Dodgers versus the Padres. It's going to be Moron, the lefty for the Padres, yep, against undecided for the Dodgers. Do you have any thoughts on who potentially might start here for the Dodgers?
I guess Julio Urias was supposed to be the guy, but I don't know any situation with like injury or, you know, perhaps being up in the series, they're going to do an opener, which would be, I think, the first time I've ever done that. But it's just showing, you know, having to play every day for this many games now. These teams are into the 70th plus game of having a schedule like this with multiple doubleheaders throughout. I think it just reflects that. You know, with this situation, I think it is pronounced Morjon. They're both, these guys would be both lefties, which makes more sense that Urias will be the guy from the Dodgers.
It would be weird if his name was pronounced Moron, because then I would be a moron for saying that. So
that's true. And you'll stand corrected if it's not pronounced that way.
Yeah.
So with this game, as good as San Diego played this year, it's hard to see them coming back against how great the Dodger team is top to bottom. You know, the Dodgers team, is when they play bad, they're better than 80% of the teams in the playoffs. Morjon has a 7.10 ERA over his last three. You know, I think this is clearly they're using him as the opener and then try to get two innings out of him and go on. Or maybe three, if they're lucky. But I sure wouldn't be in that situation as a manager, knowing that I have a guy like this on the hill that could give up a boatload of runs in a hurry against this lineup. So when the line comes out, I really think it's going to be – I'm just throwing this out there. I think 220.
Wow. I was going to go a little lower. I was going to go Dodgers minus $1.90, but basically, I guess, in the same sort of range.
It's not going to come cheap. And the higher it goes, obviously, the more it takes us out of making a bet. Because you really don't ever want to lay 220 wood and lose for obvious reasons. That sounded pretty dumb, but you understand what I'm saying. Like 220, I avoid. Unless I think the team's going to win by like six runs, then I'll do the run line. But it's always better to have that plus sign with a dog in Major League Baseball, especially if I have two dogs and then you can parlay them together. That's where you really get the profitability over the course of a season, you know, not just one day.
Yeah, maybe a little pizza parlay, throw a slice of pizza on it. Maybe the Marlins, the Tampa Bay Rays, all both at plus money. And the Dodgers maybe minus 1.5, or lay the wood, you know, and the A's. I mean, that could be, you know, if we're right on all three of them, then, you know, big payday, you know, $10, $5, who knows? Anyways, yeah, I mean, I like throwing little pizza parlays from time to time. The listeners love it, so yeah, maybe I'll throw a little pizza parlay today on the Twitter machine when I get off here.
Sounds good.
Yeah, John, we got some NFL to talk about. Let's run through a few of these games here, if not all of the games. Maybe spend a minute or two on each game. We got a Thursday night football game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Chicago Bears. The Bears. The Bears are plus four at home underdogs here. And Tampa Bay TB, Tom Brady, and company will be a short road dog here. I'm seeing anywhere from -3 with a lot of juice, minus 125, minus 130, all the way to -4, minus 105 on the Bucks. So it really just depends where you're shopping and getting these lines. Over under is 45 in this game. Man, I had the Bears last week in a teaser. They came through for me. It was really nice. Big payday for the listeners as well. We had a little two for two teaser action. But I watched that Bears game because it was the last leg of the teaser. And man, they were horrible. And I don't think that this Colts team is that good. I don't think that Colts defense was that good. I just think it had a lot to do with timing and working with the new quarterback there in Chicago. Their defense didn't look great as well. Tom Brady, on the other hand, fantastic day. I believe it was 5 touchdowns on the day for Brady against the Chargers, to come back. I believe it was from, 17 down to beat the San Diego Chargers by a touchdown. And now you got Tampa Bay rolling into Soldier Field, I believe, Chicago Bears, to take on the Bears. And, man, I hate it's going to be such a public play, I feel like, with the Bucks. But this line's come down a little bit. Are you seeing any info in terms of public money and reverse line movement here? But you got, it's either a stay away game or load up on the Tampa Bay Bucks. I mean, we know we touched upon it yesterday that you really like the Bucks here, and I really don't see any reason to not be on board with you.
The problem is the injuries on the Bucks side of the equation here. It's doubtful, I guess, that Mike Evans is even going to start tonight. And that is a little bit of a concern, but that's what's caused the line to collapse. Still, out of more than 6,000 bets that I track over 20 different sports books, 77% of them are on the Bucks, which technically is a red flag because we don't want to be on the public side necessarily all the time. And only 31% of the money so far has been on Brady and the Bucks. So that is a bit of a concern here. And being from the Philadelphia area, I know how Nick Foles can play. And I have many written documents illustrating why the Eagles at the time should not get rid of Nick Foles. And if anything, they should have traded Carson Wentz.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Right on that.
Couldn't agree with you more.
But Foles has that magic. You know, sure, if you're going to compare Foles to literally anybody else in the NFL level, he doesn't have the arm that most of them have. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. He doesn't run real well. But for whatever reason, he electrifies the other 10 guys in the huddle, and they suddenly perform like a team that you couldn't even imagine. So that concerns me a little bit too. But, you know, the machine learning tools are clearly on the Bucks tonight. And I'm sure everybody's wondering what happens with teams that have quarterbacks that threw for 5 touchdowns in the previous game. So I'm going to quickly do that, Ira. Since 2002, there's been 98 games in which a quarterback threw for 5 touchdowns or more. And on this list, this would be a good trivia question because it's pretty obvious, but if you get down to the 4th guy, it might be a little bit surprising. But the top guys: Drew Brees with 11 games, Peyton Manning with 10, Tom Brady with 7, Roethlisberger with 6. Those 4 account for 35% of the 98 games where somebody threw for 5 or more touchdowns. So what we're concerned about is what happens next. How do these quarterbacks do? You would think inherently, like after a big game like that, like in the NBA, somebody scores 50, then the next game they score 18. But in this case, these studs and, you know, future Hall of Famers actually come back with pretty solid performances. So taking the Manning out of the equation and substituting Russell Wilson, who would then be the number 4 on the active list of guys who have thrown 5 touchdowns or more in a game, the over suddenly comes to light. And with these 4 quarterbacks, their next game has seen the over go 23-10-1 for 70% winners since 2002. So in that case, as soon as I saw the over and then I looked at the machine learning stuff, that favors Brady having another solid game tonight. I can't imagine him having any problem throwing to a guy that was taking care of concrete on a road yesterday, because he's used to that with the Patriots. I mean, how many times did you watch Brady throw to somebody and you never heard the name before? So I think no matter who's in the lineup tonight, they're fast becoming the Patriots of the South. And it's plug and play and on we go. So I could be dead wrong on this, but I do like the Bucs a lot at 3. I see some of the lines coming back now in that reverse line movement that you mentioned at 4. But if you really wanted to get aggressive playing the over, and maybe even the team over on the Patriots, which is 24.5, I think, Ira.
On the Bucs.
I think it's either 24 or 24.5. So clearly, if you like the Bucs, you got to believe they're going to score more than that. And of course, if they score more than that, then the over almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that would be the parlay if you really wanted to go for it.
My buddy who covers the Dodgers for The Athletic, senior writer for The Athletic, he is a beat writer, he covers the Dodgers. Fraternity brother of mine just posted on Twitter that, breaking news, Dustin May will start tonight for the Dodgers. Pedro Mora, that's my buddy's name. He covers the Dodgers for The Athletic. He just released that on Twitter. So he will be starting in place for the Dodgers against Morjon for the Padres. Just breaking news, wanted to let you know. So that's interesting. But yeah, man, I John, do you see that? What about, I mean, going back to the Dodger game for a second, what a fantastic catch that was by Bellinger, robbing Tatis of that home run.
Definitely a game saver.
Wow, what a fantastic play that was. So that's unbelievable. Anyways, we'll move on. Bucks it is. Interesting game here. Another interesting game, as always, and I'll probably be on this one as well. Carolina +1 on the road in Atlanta, over under 54.5. Man, it's hard to trust these Falcons right now. I really like the Panthers. I like how they're playing. Teddy Bridgewater really reinventing himself down in Carolina. Mike Davis been pretty good for the Carolina Panthers as the backup running back there. So, you know, I'm a big truther in running backs don't matter in the NFL. So it's just plug and play here with the Panthers picking up right where Christian McCaffrey left off. I like the Panthers +1 here. I'm not a big believer in the Falcons. What about you?
I'm on the same page as you, Ira. It's amazing to me that the Falcons are 0-4. You know, if football was played in 2 quarters and not 4, they would be 4-0. And it's hard to believe that, at the high school level, I remember the day that you get out to a nice 14-point lead, and then you're waiting for the wheels to come off. Something bad's going to happen. And then you mature a little bit over the years and you realize that, you know, you just stay in the moment one play at a time, you know, and get into that type of mindset and you learn how to overcome those fears. But it seems like Atlanta, I think they led 3 of these 4 games through 3 quarters and then just puked.
Well, not the Green Bay game, I don't think. But other than that, yes.
Yeah, Green Bay was, they never had a lead, I guess, in the Green Bay game.
Yeah. Other than that, you're completely right. Atlanta should have been 3-0 to start, and then 3-1 if you play just 2 or 3 quarters in those games. So,
especially the Dallas game. Because now we're learning that Dallas isn't who we thought they were. So that's not a good loss, as some people like to say. And that makes it more apparent to me that Carolina is the team to play here, even though they're on the road getting one. You can't take good money and throw it on the Falcons and lose. It's better just to sit and watch the game.
Carolina is the play here for me. I love what Matt Rhule is doing in Carolina with Joe Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, DJ Moore, and Robbie Anderson. Big fans of those guys. And Carolina +1 for me. A next game that we've already spoken about and previewed on the pod, but we'll just touch upon it again. Raiders, the lines come down. I've seen it bounce around anywhere from 12 to 14. I bet it at, I believe it was 13 I took the Raiders at. And the Raiders line has now come down to 12 against the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes situation. hugging Stephen Gilmore, who has tested positive for COVID after the game in last week's battle between those two teams. I like the Raiders here. Like I said before, they played a really tough game against the Bills for three quarters. Bills, I think, are probably one of the best teams in the NFL as a whole, defense and offense. I'm a big Josh Allen guy, always have been. I've had him on my fantasy team pretty much each and every year, with the exception of this year. Just couldn't get him in my auction league with the budget that I had left. But yeah, big on the Raiders, this week. I'll also take the 12 as well. I'll probably play it in the super contest, which I believe the line is 12.5, in this matchup. So I'm going to go Raiders here. What about you? Any reasons why we shouldn't be backing the Raiders?
It seems, too good to be true. And this game is one of the lower active betting games. If I'm saying that right, the number of tickets bet so far of the 20 that I monitor is towards the lower end.
Well, he also came off the...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Board for 2 days as well.
Because of the Mahomes thing, right?
Yeah, it came off the board. I see it back on this morning right now at 1 o'clock. So I don't know what came on just now, but it was off the board yesterday for sure. And it was off the board on Tuesday as well.
Yeah. So the line, a lot of times I break it down, is what the line is projecting for a final score. Not that Vegas is projecting this, but this is based on human behavior, and Vegas wants equal action on both sides. So at minus 12 and 55 points, that basically comes out to about, what is it, 35-21-ish, 34-22. So right in that range, 34-22, and the point being that if Kansas City scores 28 points, they probably cover. I don't have the number right in front of me right now, but I know that very good offensive teams at the NFL level, if they score 28 or more, especially at home, the ATS records are up there in that 70% range. I like the idea with the double-digit dog in the NFL because that's always been a good bet. Pros do that all the time. And to your point, the super contest, that will be no doubt Las Vegas will be one of the top five picks, in my opinion, in that contest. And a lot of it just for that reason. It's a double-digit NFL dog, and that's what you do. They outpassed the Buffalo Bills last week. But they are still have growing pains and way too many mistakes. Too many turnovers at critical points, too many false starts. That instead of having 2nd and 5, you have 2nd and 10. And you can't do that against Kansas City.
Definitely not.
I think that's the X factor. If they play a clean game, the plus 12 is going to be gold.
I agree with that. Moving on to the next game, which is a weird, fishy line to me as well. And that is the Los Angeles Rams traveling to Washington to take on the football team. Rams -7.5, -7 in some spots as well, over under 45. It's a little weird here just because teasers and things like that. Seems like Vegas isn't really taking the Rams too seriously, neither is offshore. Football team, obviously, we know, good front seven for this team. I believe there are some injuries up front. I'd have to confirm that. But the Rams, you know, they did look they looked very flat last week. They came out flat against the Bills in the first half. They came out flat last week against the Giants, barely covering the teaser number last week for the Rams. I had that in my teaser as well. So, phew, escaped that one too. We had to get lucky on those teasers last week, let's be real. But it's a weird line to me. I think the Rams roll this week. I think it's a good teaser pick. Kyle Allen coming in to start for Dwayne Haskins, who should never have been an NFL quarterback to begin with. Kyle Allen coming to Washington. I think it's very strange, the quarterback situation there. I don't think that they'll be able to do much against this Rams defense. I expect the Rams to roll in this one. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's the correct side. The Washington defense, despite some of the new names they have and the expectation they were going to be much better, are not. They're giving up more than 27 points a game, and the Rams historically have done well with a 16-5 against the spread record in road games versus struggling defenses giving up 27 or more points a game. They're also 32-16 for 67% in road games versus struggling teams that are getting outscored by 6 or more points per game. So those are two, when you start getting into the yards per point, yards per play, in which the Redskins, I think, are dead last, it's either them or the Giants or the Jets. And when you mention a team in that company, it doesn't really matter where they rank. But defensive efficiency, as I named it, when it doesn't take many, many yards for an offense to score, it's not a good team to bet on. The game can get way out of hand real quick. And if you're going to bet this game, it's got to be on the Rams.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know what your thoughts are here, but what about buying a half point here and laying 7 with the Rams at -120, which you can do right now?
That makes sense to me. Generally, I'm not a big fan of buying the half point.
Neither am I. But I just think at -120, it's decent enough to play it. And not -130. I wouldn't play it at probably -130. But at -120, I think the juice might be worth the squeeze here.
I agree. Because you just don't want to get in that situation of the backdoor cover.
Exactly. Next game on the board, we got the Jacksonville Jaguars and Garner Mustache Minshew against the Bobless, the GM fired, the Texans without Bill O'Brien. He's finally gone, and that's made a lot of Houston Texan fans very happy. You got to think this one's going to be in a lot of teasers as well, teasing the Texans down to win the game. Man, I think this one's going to be a shootout. Both these defenses are kind of bad. Over the total, 54 looks like a solid play. But, I never really count these Jacksonville Jaguars out. They can put points on the board and stay in this game, I think. So give me some thoughts. I haven't made a decision yet in this game, but give me some thoughts on the Texans versus the Jaguars. Jaguars coming into Houston to play them.
This is another one of those surprises in the NFL we see every year. Houston had that tremendous magical run last year at the second half of the season, only to fall flat on their face now. And a coaching change needed to happen. It probably should have happened a long time ago, but that's not really the point. 70% of the tickets are being bet on Houston here, which is the public money. But the majority of the money is going on Jacksonville.
I knew it.
It could change, Ira. We're here Thursday afternoon, and by Saturday, it could be more of an even situation. But the early decisions by the bettors, the professionals, the bigger size bettors, the wise guys, as they like to call them, are on the Jaguars.
I kind of like it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I like teasing the Texans down to win the game, probably. That would be my first thought. But the Jags at 6 points, I mean, that back door is wide open. It's going to be wide open all day. That's kind of where I'm at with that game. Let's move on to another weird game, weird line here. And that's the new Joe Flacco, Cool Joe, and the New York Jets taking on Kyler Murray and company. Arizona's coming into New York as a 7.5-point road favorite in this one, over under 47 points. Man, it's another one of those games where you got to think all the teaser money's going to be on the Cardinals here. Is there a reason not to back the Cardinals at -7.5 right here?
I would be so mad at myself if I ever bet the Jets. And
I did it once already this year, and I'll never do it again. Against the Broncos, Thursday Night Football, I bet the Jets, and I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. Not with Adam Gase as the head coach. Not with the cast over there. Just not happening. Not doing it. So it's either Cardinals or bust for me. Either Cardinals or pass here.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I'm just pulling up the betting flows here to see what's going on in this game.
Arizona started off looking like a Super Bowl contender, and then all of a sudden they fell a little flat the last couple of weeks. I do expect them to bounce back in this spot against this obviously horrible Jets team. So what are the betting flows saying right now?
Well, it's kind of that mixed bag again. There's really not enough tickets being bet to really make a statement on it. It is definitely it's definitely leaning, believe it or not, money wise on the Jets.
Those wise guys.
It's really not fair for me to make a statement on it because it's way too early. There's not enough bets made on this game for obvious reasons. I'd have to go to one of those meetings afterwards if I ever bet the Jets and Arizona won 49-3.
I'm just not doing it. I won't be able to look myself in the mirror if I bet the Jets again this year. So I don't care if it covers. I don't care if the Jets cover. I don't care if the Jets win the game. I'm just not doing it. I refuse to bet these Jets with Gase at the helm.
Yeah, it's There's other games out there, and I think I'd even bet on the Korean baseball situation before I would bet on the Jets, with all due respect to them.
Someday they'll
be a good team. It's just not going to be this week.
Love Korean baseball. Anyways, moving on, we got your Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers laying 7 at home, -115 over under in this game is a whopping 44.5. Eagles obviously came out to play against the JV team of the San Francisco 49ers, got the victory there. I don't expect it to go the same way this week with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, and Steelers have a pretty stout defense there as well. I do like their both sides of the ball there for the Steelers, and I do think that they're a nice little dark horse to win the Super Bowl this year. Any thoughts for you on this game? I don't really have an opinion, as the line for me is just a little too high at 7 to bet either side.
I think you're right with the Eagles getting the win against the JV. As you know, I had the 49ers, and I loved the 49ers, and I own up to the fact that I lost that game, and it was not a good call at all.
I had the Eagles. Just I made a bet maybe 10 minutes before game time, got I think 8 or 8.5, and never really had to sweat it. But I wish I had it in the Super Contest as one of my picks. I'll tell you that.
From my view here on the East Coast, it was obvious early on that it was not the right pick. But you know, the thing that stuck out in watching the game was that there was guys at wide receiver off the practice squad that were playing with more intensity and more enthusiasm, more urgency than the starters on the Eagles. And for whatever reason, that's a big, big problem with the Eagles. I don't know if you can trust them week to week. You certainly can't say that they've turned the corner now and they're going to, you know, win the next 8.
Definitely
They
not.
Certainly could, but I would bet against it.
No, definitely not.
So I think laying the 7 here, I haven't run my models yet, but I assume will. that I know it won't be on the Eagles. And if there is a play, you know, like a 7-star, they would be on the Steelers. You know, and I agree with you. The Steelers are that dark horse that has the potential to come out of nowhere and knock the Chiefs off the, you know, the crown.
I actually, the Steelers will probably be a teaser play for me this week for the listeners. I just, man, this Eagles team, it's just something else. They're just horrible. You can get the Steelers right now 20 in some spots 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. So could be an interesting little dark horse there. Just throw it out there. Maybe we'll have to cut this clip and post it to Twitter if I'm right. Next game on the board, we got the Miami Dolphins. And I believe Fitzmagic will be the starter again. There was some early talks this week about maybe Tua becoming the starter in Miami, but it looks like Fitzpatrick will be the man in San Francisco this week. San Francisco 49ers, obviously a very banged up team. Not sure if Garoppolo will be back. Maybe you have heard otherwise, but in any case, the 49ers are -9 here, over under 49.5. With Magic at the helm for the Dolphins, I kind of lean +9 right here. What about you?
I'm off this game because of the way the 49ers played last week. It's hard to back them with all the injuries, and obviously I underestimated those missing parts in the Eagles play. But the 49ers are in the NFC West, and I was trying to get the standings here. In the NFC West, Seattle is 4-0, Rams 3-1, and then they're tied with Arizona 2-2. So clearly the best of the divisions in the NFC. You could easily have two wild cards coming out of there. But there's got to be a sense of urgency here to get a win and get up to 3-2. Being favored by 9, that's a high probability it'll happen one way or another. But I would be a pass on this game. I don't see anything that really opens my eyes to any solid opportunity.
I'll agree with you there. It's probably going to be a pass game for me as well. I just slightly lean to the Dolphins, but no real true strong conviction there. Next game on the board, this is going to be kind of a snooze fest here, I believe. I think it's going to be a wide margin of victory, or a potential for a shootout here. So you can both tease it down and tease over the total. And that's the Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, Dallas -9.5 over under 54 points. So listen, John, I'll be the first to admit, this Dallas team, this Dallas defense is just, man, I could play better defense than them, okay? And I've never played contact football in my life. I know how to, I can figure out how to tackle someone. I promise you that. I'm a Jewish guy, 6 foot, 175 pounds. I mean, I could make tackles that these guys at 6'4", 220, who can, you know, deadlift 400 whatever pounds, can't make, okay? It's been atrocious. It's been absolutely atrocious what you've seen in Dallas from their defensive side of the ball. On the other hand, their offense, you know, Dak's been down a lot of points lately. He's been throwing the ball pretty well. Been lighting it up. I do expect that to continue for Dallas. Their offense will continue to roll against this Giants team. But on the flip side, as we saw last week, Giants held in there with the Rams and a little bit of a fluke, weird game for the Rams. But this Dallas Cowboys defense might allow some points to Daniel Jones and this offense. What do you got to say about this one? It's not a game I'm really looking at to bet, but I am eyeing over the total right now.
What do you think Jason Garrett's doing in his time off and he has time to think about his former employer?
He's clapping.
He's gotta be laughing.
He's clapping. Laughing.
But I think it also shows what a job he did, even though it looked horrible at the time. You know, with Tomlin in Pittsburgh having, you know, those two, you know, perennial all pros in Antonio Brown and Bell. And then they leave and you find out what a cancer they both were in the locker room, goes to his credit of managing that team as well as he has. And I think the same thing is coming full circle here in Dallas.
Well, they were. I mean, they replaced Garrett with just an atrocious coach. I mean, I very much dislike Mike McCarthy. Very much.
It's not. It's not the right combination of players, I think. You know, just at some point, we all know how Prescott can get, just with his negotiations with his contract, and sooner or later, it's going to be Prescott calling the plays. And that's kind of not good, but it can't be any worse than it than it's been. They've been, like you said, on offense, they really are in the top of the league in their scoring. But the defense gave up they give up last week 307 rushing yards, franchise record, to the Cleveland Browns, who Nick Chubb didn't play a down from the first quarter on.
Yeah, well, Kareem Hunt is he could be a starter on any team in the NFL.
Good point. But 307.
No, I'm not defending Dallas at all. I think it's their horrible defense.
And the fact is that you know, Cleveland recognized this to their credit. They ran the ball twice as much as they threw it. And you know, we're not looking at Georgia Tech playing Army, where that would happen. At the NFL level, it is so rare that you have twice as many running plays as passing plays. And whatever adjustments Dallas tried to make on defense didn't work. You know, it just did not work. They looked like they were, I hate to say it, they looked like they were at a scrimmage. They, you know, they were slow. They were slow to get to the huddle. They just didn't seem like any, like they were playing a real game. They've lost all four to the spread. They're lucky to have won the game at Atlanta. You know, I'll go on a limb here, and this is a game where I feel pretty good about taking the Giants. And until that defense on Dallas shows me otherwise, I'll take the over.
Yeah.
So I think your teaser idea, tease the Giants, tease the over, and let's see what happens.
That might be a good play, actually, now that I think about it.
It's going to be contrarian. You know, nobody's going to want to take the Giants.
Yeah, tease it up to what, 16 and a half, 15 and a half, yeah. Depending on what point you're taking. But, yeah, I like over, teasing over, maybe the Giants here, and it's a good point. Anyways, we'll move on to the game of the week for me, and I've already bet it, and we've talked about it, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. And that's the Cleveland Browns. This line's come down from 2.5, which I got. And I bet it at 2.5. It is down to Cleveland plus 1.5 at home dog against the Colts. I'm surprised this line hasn't moved any further. I do think by kickoff it will be a pick. That was why I bet the 2.5. I just thought it was not the right line. That's not where I was at with my numbers. I think it should be Cleveland -1. So I have Cleveland favored in this game. I still think there's a little bit of value here in this number. And I don't think the Colts are that good. I really don't. Not with Phillip Rivers at the helm. I do think that their rest of their squad is very good. But with Phillip Pick Rivers in there, and listen, I'm a fan, San Diego Charger fan, so I watch a lot of Phillip Rivers. There's going to be times he's going to throw some bad picks. He's been okay at managing them this year, but this Browns defense is pretty good. Miles Garrett, they can make plays on defense. I expect Phillip Rivers to have to struggle. I expect their running game not to be as strong this week against this Cleveland Browns defensive front. And that's why I'm going with the Browns here.
Yeah, I think that's the right play too, Ira. I haven't run my stuff yet on this game, but we will find out if the Colts are as good as they appear to be. I would take the side that they're not. There's been a lot of talk in the major networks about how good the defense is. But I don't see it here. And believe me, I had I'm embarrassed to say I had Dallas as a 7-star play for the subscribers to my service. And, you know, I was pretty much made a fool out of with Cleveland just destroying them in Dallas. I didn't see that coming at all. And maybe now Baker Mayfield has matured enough to run that offense as well as he did on the road. And now facing an opponent that we don't know what Dallas is and we don't know what the Colts are. But we do know what Cleveland is for once. And that's one of the main reasons why I definitely would play Cleveland. Yep. they've shown to be the better team.
I think that Cleveland, to me, they've just been missing. They've just been missing a decent scheme and a good head coach. And I think they have it there. They're finally starting to get it together. And I'm on the Browns here. And I like to bet when I'm betting NFL, I like to bet on the sides where the market overvalues a team and maybe the market doesn't necessarily value another team quite as high. I've been on the Browns every single week in my betting, in my teasers, and in my super contest and Circa Millions. I will continue to ride the Browns here, and that is why I already laid it. I already got down with the points at home as a home dog. Next game on the board, we got the Minnesota Vikings against Russell Wilson and Mr. Unstoppable. Man, these Seahawks really rolling so far. They're -7, -120. Offshore right now at home against this Vikings team that finally eked out its first victory. It's a tough line here, but you got to think Seattle -7 at home is a good number.
Yeah, I'm a little leery of it because Minnesota has shown a little bit to me in the recent weeks. Just trying to pull up the game here. This is the Sunday night game too. Yeah, Minnesota's 1-3, but again, arguably should have, would have, could have club. They could have been the opposite. That doesn't change what your record is. I like the over on this because of the Seattle offense is really playing well.
And the Seattle defense isn't so great either.
What's that?
And the Seattle defense isn't so great either.
No, and I think that's a sign that they're spending too much time on the field because sometimes – you know, Russell Wilson, it's not a 12-play, 10-minute drive. It's very quick sometimes, and the defense is right back out there. So I think, you know, Seattle at 7, I think that's the correct side. And then taking the over, which has come down now from 58 to, I guess, 57 at some places.
Yeah, I see 57.5 right now, and that number is looking like it's continuing to drop. But, yeah, I think the reason it's going to drop is just because Minnesota loves to run the ball with Dalvin Cook, take time off the clock, hold the ball. You know, that's just kind of their game plan. Kirk Cousins, you know, struggling a little bit here in this early going in this season. But, yeah, this is a good, should be a good Sunday night game, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't really have too much invested or conviction on this game, but, yeah, you got to think the Seahawks. And maybe the over if it comes down a little bit. But I'm going to wait till Sunday afternoon probably to bet this game, see where the line shakes out. I'm not looking to jump on anything too early. Another game we've talked about, and this is the last game that we will cover, and that is Monday Night Football, and that's Los Angeles Chargers traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints. Saints -7.5 right now, -115, over under 51. Like I said, I got down on the Chargers. I think they're a really good team, really good secondary. Herbert can move the ball. Really like him running this offense. Saints, we've talked about it. Breeze looks a little bit shaky. He looks a little bit indecisive at times. And, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, like we said, we don't know if it's their new scheme they're trying to run. He looks a little hesitant. Things like that. We talked about it. I'm taking the Chargers here +7.5. I do expect, you know, it is only Thursday here, but I got to think that this line is going to move in favor of the Saints just because the public loves backing the Saints. So maybe I jumped in a little too early, got a little aggressive at the +7.5. Maybe we'll, only time will tell where the line moves. But if this line moves more in favor of the Saints, which it has heavier juice on the Saints right now, -115. If you get 8.5, I think it's a great play, especially teasing the Chargers up here as well, like we did last week. So, John, I know you're on the same side as me. Have you done any more homework on this game, or you're still standing pat with the Chargers?
I'm standing pat with the Chargers. Agree with everything you said. I do think that until proven otherwise, Breeze is having trouble for whatever reason, letting the long vertical pass rip. And maybe that's because he's missing his favorite wide receiver at the time too. But I don't believe he is playing, which is a big weapon out of the lineup. And, you know, Herbert's been looking great.
You sure know,
what a draft pick he was. 31% of the bets, number of tickets, are on the Chargers. 78% of the money. So that's clearly a good thing for us who like the Chargers. There's really no flows on the total at all that would give us any good meaning. But the Chargers, I think, are the pick. You know, I always come back to, like, the Saints have been perennial playoff teams and contenders for the Super Bowl every single season. And there comes a time where, you know, age does catch up with certain quarterbacks and some not. But, you know, I would hate to see this being the end of Drew Brees, of course. I would never wish that on anybody. But that has to be considered at this point. And if they lose Monday night, I'm sure that's going to, unfortunately for Brees, that's going to be one of many things the media will be talking negatively about. But, you know, the Chargers, you know, without Phillip Rivers, who I used to think he was a warrior, because he would just get killed in a lot of those games because of lack of protection. But now Herbert's come in, and it's like a totally different style of team, totally different culture, and it's all positive. So, you know, I think, yeah, the Chargers are definitely going to be a play on my end.
Yeah, I love it. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank John Ryan for coming on the show. You can find him again on Twitter, at John Ryan Sports 1. As always, I'm Ira Silver. I'm at Ira Silver Magic on Twitter. You know, follow us, banter with us, talk to us, you know, whatever you want. Comments, questions, we're always there for you. This is a HoopBall presentation. Hoop-ball.com, sponsored by Manscaped.com. Type in the promo code HoopBall20, get 20% off in free shipping. And MyBookie.ag, use the promo code HoopBall. Get 100% match on your first deposit. As always, John, thank you so much. And let's go win some money today on the Rays, the Athletics, potentially the Marlins, and the Dodgers.
Gotcha.
See you next time.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.